Composer Morten Lauridsen is getting ready to retire after teaching for 52 years. Then he'll head off to a remote island off of Washington State, which is where he composed most of the pieces that appear on his most recent recording, Light Eternal. That's one of the things you'll hear about on this week's edition of New Classical Tracks, and how his entire career really exploded after the age of 50. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Mocker. So you marked your 75th birthday this year with a series of concerts in Germany with the Chamber Choir of Europe. And now that's all culminated with this new recording called Light Eternal. And it features a lot of works that we might call Morten Lauridsen favorites and then two world premieres. Tell me how this all came to be and how you feel it represents you overall.
Well, I think it certainly represents my choral side very well. Nicole Mott first became acquainted with my music when he came to Oregon, which is a hometown for me, 20 years ago or so, maybe a little bit longer, and picked up my name there and got into my music, and then invited me to Germany to do a recording with them. I think it was the Nordic Chamber Choir some time ago. And so he's conducted my music for a long, long time. And then he approached Deutsche Grammophon to do a new recording of my music. And I flew to a little town in Austria last year. It was a very, very interesting situation. There was a hotel in Austria that also had a concert stage and was quite quiet and ideal for recording. And the Chamber Choir of Europe, 24 select singers from either 12 or 15 different countries in Europe and also the United States, gathered along with a fabulous orchestra from Italy, I Virtuoso Italiani. And we spent an entire week there. We recorded 9 hours each day, and I'm absolutely delighted with this album. It's spectacularly performed, beautifully conducted, beautifully shaped. I'm very, very pleased to speak with you to promote this album and make your listening audiences aware of it.
Now, the title of the recording is also the translation of the first piece, the suite that opens it. Does the meaning go beyond that work, Light Eternal?
Well, you know, it's a very, very personal work for me. I wrote this work, I began this work in my capacity as composer in residence of the Los Angeles Master Chorale. And they had already premiered my Omagna Mysterium. That was the first piece I wrote for them in that capacity. And not too long after that, I got the news that my mother was going to die. And I did as all artists do, and not only artists, but everybody does this. You reach out for things to hang on to. And for me, it was words in Latin about eternal light shining upon them. And I formed a five-movement work called the Lux Aeterna. There are no stoppages between the movements. And selected texts from a wide variety of sources, all of which had this spiritual theme of light eternal. And it was a great comfort to me each day to go to those Latin texts and write a piece about perpetual light, of enlightenment of all kinds, not only spiritual, but artistic, intellectual. And although my mother passed away long before this piece was done, I continued. They premiered it in the L.A. Master Chorale in 1997. Their recording of it got a Grammy nomination, went on to be a huge international bestseller. And I still receive voluminous letters from people, emails all over the world, about this piece of music. And the letters I get generally follow the same pattern, Dear Mr. Lordson, and they tell me they're going through some awful patch, and they're hanging on to this piece of music. They're using it the same way as I did. As I say, it's a very personal work. It's a meditative work. It's a quiet work. And according to many of the letters I get, very transcendent. It takes people in a special place. You know, on 9/11, when that happened, the great radio station here in Los Angeles, KUSC, from where I'm broadcasting right now, stopped their programming and put on the Luxaterna as an antidote to that horror in New York City. People hang on to this piece.
So very healing piece. I was thinking about this work also because, as you mentioned, this is one of the pieces that you wrote when you were composer in residence in Los Angeles. And it was at that time, when you were like 50, that everything just sort of exploded
for
you.
Yeah, it's very,
very
interesting.
Which I would think would give a lot of people hope, you know. Sometimes we think we have to do everything important in the first, you know, 30 years of our life, and you really built up to that.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. One of my favorite letters was from a composer who I did not know and wrote me. He said, Dear Mr. Lordson, I see that everything exploded for you after you turned 50. He said, I'm 49, and I'm going to give it at least one more year because nothing's happened yet. Now, in my particular case, was this. I've had a long career at the University of Southern California as a professor. This is my 52nd year of teaching college classes there, and I might add it's also my last because this will be the last semester I'm teaching, and then I'm going to move to my home in the San Juan Islands of Washington State. But during that time, I simply built up a body of works. I was in a situation that had an outstanding choral department as well as a vocal department, and I concentrated all these years on a number of things that were especially important to me. First, poetry. I read it every day. I've taught classes for 50 years at SC, and the majority of those classes I have started each day with a poem. It takes us up a peg. Poets inform us on so many ways, and their work has inspired my writing over the years. I combine that with the most personal of instruments, the human voice, and ensembles of human voices. And I've combined those things with one more element, I think, that has permeated my music all these years. I've been very fond all these years of a long lyric line. It makes no difference where that comes from. I'm a huge, huge fan of the great writers for the Broadway stage. They knew what to do with a lyric line. They supported it with texts. This is part of our DNA as Americans, is it not? Each year I go to Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and have the great privilege of staying in Oscar Hammerstein's farmhouse. And you walk around there, his typewriter is there. I stay in the King and I room. And you think about, younger than springtime are you, or oh, what a beautiful morning, or this nearly was mine, or the whole trove of Broadway plays that he wrote with a series of composers. The songs of Schubert, Schumann, Brahms. I've always admired that very much. And I never paid any attention to fads at all of any kind. I simply sat down and tried to honor those poets of all kinds, in a variety of languages, of setting their poems to music and creating something that was a combination of both. And I've simply done that quietly and built up over the years a body of work. And then in 1994, I had the great privilege of being appointed composer in residence with Los Angeles Master Chorale. The conductor there was Paul Solomonovich, iconic in the choral world. And I wrote pieces that were really up his alley. Here's a man who's had this same church job at St. Borromeo church in North Hollywood for 60 years. He's an expert on the Latin liturgy. He's also a great expert on Gregorian chant and the Renaissance music in particular. And the works that I wrote for him embodied these particular characteristics. For your listeners who are aware of Omnium Mysterium, I invite them to read a 7,000-word essay by the eminent scholar James Bond on Omnium Mysterium, tying it in with the inspiration for that particular setting, which came from a painting by the Baroque painter Zupiran. You'll find that at mortonlordson.net. It's posted on in the news or in the events column. And so I had that post with Paul for all these years. Yeah, he was very inspirational to me. But things came together. I wrote the Rose Songs. They were premiered in 1993, when I did turn 50. That included Dire Ton. And that became an international hit. And then followed by Omnium, the Lux Aeterna, the Nocturnes, Sure in the Shining Night, and others. And then people looked back and said, oh my gosh, he's got the Madrigali, he's got the Midwinter Songs, he's got the Winter Come Cycle, he's got art songs, he's got cabaret songs, etc. And so it all came together. And the idea was, I never expected any of this. I never expected any of these things to explode. I simply quietly did my work the best I could for decades. And then it got a lot of notoriety after the Grammy nomination for the Lux Aeterna and a few pieces that became internationally known. There are over 100 recordings of Omnium Mysterium now.
And there's a new one, too, with Anna Kiko Myers.
Anna Kiko Myers. Now, that was a very, very interesting one. She commissioned me to write a version of Omnium Mysterium for violin and orchestra. And I did do that. And it was a very interesting challenge for me to keep the essence of the original and also give her $16 million violin, something to do that was very violinistic. So that's on her Mirror in Mirror album.
You mentioned you're going to be heading off to your home in the San Juan Islands, and that is actually where you do a lot of your composing, by candlelight.
Yes.
In a very rustic setting where it's very quiet, on a $50 piano.
That's correct. I bought an abandoned general store many, many years ago and wrote most of this music in this shack on the beach by candlelight. It's no running water. It's a very remote island. There's no electricity, none of that stuff. And here I am with this $50 piano in a shack and connecting deep inside of me and in the quietness of nature, very inspiring to me, and I think that's gotten into this music.
Can I just quickly ask you to say a little bit more about the two world premieres?
I wanted to include two new pieces, a new setting of Neruda, and Now You're Mine, Nobody Else. That's my second setting of Neruda. If you want to get the greatest love poems that I've read, go to the 100 Love Sonnets of Pablo Neruda. And that is a world premiere recording on this album as well. Yeah. And the other one, a wonderful poem by Dana Gioia, who's currently the poet laureate of the state of California and a very, very well-known poet who also ran the NEA for 7 years. And Dana Gioia, my dearest friend, he and his wife lost their son to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, some 25 or 30 years ago. The child was only 4 months old. He wrote this extraordinary poem called Prayer. You will find it in several of his books, including the latest one called 99 Poems that got the Poets Prize this year. And I set this particular poem. It can be done for solo voice, for mixed duet, or for choir. And it's a series of images about nature, but asking whatever out there, God, spirits, nature, to take care of his little boy for him.
Light Eternal from Morten Lauridsen, a brand new recording featured this week on New Classical Tracks, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.